Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. Our phone line is open. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with your questions about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for making this possible. We just pray that you will bless, use the program today to be a blessing and encouragement to people, to point people to Christ if they're not saved. And again, we just pray that it be encouragement to believers. And again, just use this program for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wanted to jump right into a question here this afternoon. This question was asked of me. The question is, why is the blood of Christ necessary? Why is the blood necessary? I guess you could sum it up that way. This past week, I had somebody call me, and they asked the question. The question was, what's so important about the blood, or why is the blood necessary? And talking about the blood of Christ that was, the Bible said, was shed to pay for our sins. And talking, a gentleman in our church was talking with somebody, and they were talking about the necessity of trusting Christ as your Savior and the necessity of the blood atonement, we call that, and the atonement being the covering for our sin. And he was asking the question, he was struggling with, why is it so important? And a lot of people struggle with this idea, why can't I just be a good person? If I'm a good enough person, shouldn't that be sufficient? If I can try to keep the commandments, you know, just like the young man that asked Jesus came to him and said, you know, all these commandments I've kept from my youth up. Of course, he had missed one. He had violated the commandment about not having any other God before the only true God, and that's because he valued his money and his wealth and stuff more than the one true God. But the problem is, we cannot be good enough in order to merit eternal life. We cannot be good enough to find our way into heaven. But nevertheless, people think they can. People try to, and what this gentleman was struggling with is why this necessity of the blood? And that got me to thinking about that. Why is it necessary? And I tried to answer his question as best I could, and then we were talking about that, and it led me to think about this. And here's some thoughts about that. I know if one person has a question, then probably a lot more people have the same question. I know my wife, before she got saved, she thought, well, as long as I'm a good enough person, as long as my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, I should be okay. And a lot of people labor under that false assumption. It makes sense to us. It appeals to our way of thinking that if I'm good enough, I can make it on my own. And that's a problem. See, what you're doing with that is you're saying that you don't need the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Let me read for you here in Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, 18, 9, and 10, or I'm sorry, first, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2, talking too fast here, verse 8, 9, and 10, the Bible says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's verses 8 and 9. It's all one sentence. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, it's a gift. It's not of works. So instantly, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you have to make a decision. Am I going to believe God is telling the truth here, or am I going to believe something contrary to what the Bible plainly says? Salvation, the Bible says, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he goes on to say, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's where the works come in. The works come in after we trust Christ as our Savior. After we trust Christ as our Savior, we can do good works. But before we trust Christ as our Savior, your good works don't do anything. The Bible says all our righteousness, and we try to make ourselves righteous or look right, if you want to say that. The derivation, the Old English derivation of the word righteousness, literally means full of rightness. And we want to look like we're right, like we're full of rightness. And we think we can do that with our own good works, but the Bible says all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So if it's by grace that we're saved through faith and not of ourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, the good works come in after we've trusted Christ as our Savior. So there's a variety of things, and I'm going to try and post this outline on our website, and you can always go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out information about the program and, of course, our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can also link from there to our Facebook. I try to link various articles on there at different times in regards to some of the things we talk about or some things that I look at during the week. And I'm going to try and get this as an outline sort of up there because I had some notes that I had jotted down here. But the thing comes down to this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if I get a chance, I'm going to develop this a little bit more, but we'll also take your calls today, 888-677-9673. But let me just give a real quick synopsis here. God set the example that someone has to die. He said the wages of sin is death. And so someone has to die because of sin. And it's either going to be the sinner or it's going to be a substitute. In the Old Testament, we had the substitute of the lambs that were slain, starting with the innocent lamb that was slain to cover the effects of Adam and Eve's sin. They tried vainly to cover it with the works of their own hands, with the fig leaves. But God slew an innocent animal, I believe it was probably a lamb, and took the skins after he shed the blood of that innocent animal. He took the skins to provide a covering for their nakedness, which covered the effects of their sin. We see the same thing with Cain's attempt to overcome the consequences of sin by his own works when he labored against the curse on the land and brought produce that he made or grew, as opposed to his brother Abel, who followed God's example and command, recognized the wages of sin is death, and he killed an innocent animal, a lamb, to provide a blood atonement for his sin. And we see this whenever somebody sacrificed a lamb in the Old Testament, they laid their hands on it and they symbolically transferred their sin to that innocent animal. And that animal's blood was shed as it was slain because the wages of sin is death. And then, of course, that culminated in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And he died for us. He shed his blood to pay for our sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you're either going to pay for your sin with your own death by the shedding of your own blood, so to speak, or your sin is going to be atoned for, paid for, by the shedding of a substitute, and that substitute is Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, but we've got a caller here this afternoon. We've got Jerry calling in from Cleveland. Jerry, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, yes, how you doing, Pastor Al?
Good. Welcome to the program today.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's warm compared to what it was last night.
Yeah, thank the Lord for the weather, but they say all these global warming and all, they try to fix the weather, climate, and everything, but we all know that God created this climate, so.
Well, you know, let me give you one quick thing on that. You only have to remember that old song, Susanna, Don't You Cry, if you remember that. The sun's so hot, I froze to death. That's the way global warming is. The colder it gets, the more they say there's global warming. And,
I have two questions
yes.
about a verse of the Bible. And also, if a person does God's will, and the person has to go by God's will in general, what if the person doesn't want to do God's will?
All right. Now, are we talking about a believer or an unbeliever?
We know I'm asking it because I'm doing God's will, but I don't know exactly for sure what His will is for me. Completely.
Yeah. We want to do God's will. That's what we're created for. We're created for His glory. We're created to bring Him, you know, honor and glory. And you can see that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So when we do God's will, we bring glory and honor to Him, and we please Him. And so there's that right there, and we're fulfilling what we were created for. Now, as far as God's will goes, God has, a lot of patience with us, I think, sometimes more than we deserve. He tries to work with us to bring us around to see the value of doing His will. Certainly, first and foremost, doing God's will involves trusting Christ as our Savior, because unless somebody puts their faith in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're never going to be accomplishing God's will in anything they do. I mean, they do all the good works that they want, but it's not going to amount to anything. So that's the first step. I'm sorry?
I live my life for the Lord, and I'm a Christian, and it changed my life ever since my mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed it for the better because I want to be reunited with her in heaven.
Right.
So I changed my life because of her, and I have a lot of memories of my mother.
Well, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have. I've done
yeah.
That.
Okay, so that's the first step in following God's will for your life. And when you do that, that passage that I read in Ephesians, actually the preceding verses there in Ephesians chapter 2, says that he's gonna show us as an example of His exceeding riches and grace throughout eternity in heaven. He'll be able to do that with us when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. But then, of course, when we get saved, God's will is for us to grow and to become more Christ-like in all that we do. So, we accomplish that, of course, through prayer and Bible study, through church. You need to be in a good church that believes the Word of God, And let me just say, my bias, of course, is the Independent Fundamental Baptist churches, because I'm going to be quick to say that not every Independent Fundamental Baptist church is a perfect church, that's for sure, and some of them are less perfect than others. But I point people to Independent Fundamental Baptist churches because, as a group, that's the group of churches that are most likely to be strictly with the Bible and worshiping God and following in the footsteps of the apostles. You can trace the origin of the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement all the way back to the time of the apostles, actually. But what I'm getting at with that is, we believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. We believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood to pay for our sins. We believe that He rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death. We believe that He was born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that there's a heaven, and that the only way there is by trusting Christ as our Savior, being born again, as the Bible says. We believe that those that do not trust Christ as their Savior are going to die and spend eternity in the lake of fire. The reason I'm stressing this is because there are a lot of churches out there who just don't believe those things. And they're false churches if they don't believe those things.
The Old Testament, it talks about God, but in the New Testament, it talks about the birth of Jesus and then Him growing up, and also it talks about the death of Jesus and in Matthew, Luke, and those two books. The Bible talks about Jesus has grown up at birth of Him and also His death.
Right.
And then the Old Testament talks about God as Jesus' father, but Jesus wasn't even born in the Old Testament.
Yeah, let me clarify what you're saying there, too. The Old Testament presents the necessity for a Savior called the Messiah, in the Old Testament. And all of the Old Testament was geared towards the coming of the Messiah, and then, of course, or the Savior. And then the New Testament presents us with the Savior who came, or the Messiah who arrived, and what he did. And of course, the Old Testament points out that the Messiah would actually be God himself, and the New Testament points out that God was manifest in the flesh, you know, that Jesus was God, and that he was manifest in the flesh, and then, of course, he purchased our salvation.
Now, when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected and went to heaven, he's sitting at the right hand of God, right?
Right hand of the Father.
Yeah, right hand of the Father.
And of course, that gets into the whole thing of, you know, the Godhead, or as you'll see it referred to occasionally, as well as the Trinity of God. The Godhead is a good biblical term as well, because God consists of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, he created us in his image. And so you and I are three-part beings. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. So that's the image of God. You're a three-part being. You have three, you know, your body is distinct from your soul, which is distinct from your spirit, which is distinct from your body. And just like God the Father is distinct from the Son, which is distinct from the Spirit, which is distinct from the Father. And so, but yet it's all one God, just like you're one person, body, soul, and spirit. He's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. You answered my question. God bless.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. And then, of course, following God's will in our life, we want to be Christ-like. And just playing on that there, what we were saying about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ's example that he set for us is that he was in submission to the Father in all that he did. He said, what the Father says, I will do. He did what he was to do. He said what the Father said to say. He went where the Father said to go. He did what the Father said to do. And he's a perfect example, if you think about it, with the Godhead, or the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son obviously is a physical manifestation of God, and our caller there, and of course each one of us here, all of our listeners and myself, each one of us has a physical manifestation. You wouldn't be listening to the program if you didn't have a physical manifestation, nor would I be doing the program if I didn't have a physical manifestation. And our physical body, just like Genesis chapter 2 says, God took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of Adam. Our physical manifestation, you could say, is analogous to God the Son. And you see, we have a spirit because God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so there's the spirit. Spirit and breath are the same word. And so we have God the Holy Spirit. That's the spiritual part of our being. And that's analogous to God's spirit. And then, of course, that leaves the soul to be analogous to God the Father, and the soul where your mind, your emotion, your intellect, your will is. And what I'm getting at here is Jesus Christ as God the Son was totally in submission to God the Father. And so when we become Christ-like, when we do God's will, we're going to be submissive in the sense that our body is not going to be in charge. Our body is going to be in subjection to our soul, to our mind. But of course, our mind is going to be led by the Spirit, because it's through the Spirit that we communicate with God. The Bible says that God takes our prayers through his, you know, right before the throne of grace, and oftentimes intercedes, the Spirit intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so God relates to us through our spirit. We're alive, we're connected to God. And I go into this in some detail on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. There's an article called The Trinity, and I think there's even an audio clip dealing with the Trinity or the Godhead. And I encourage you to take a listen to that or read that, and maybe that'll help. But yeah, as we become more conformed to the image of Christ, we're going to mimic the things that Christ did. And we see Jesus praying. We're going to pray. And we see Jesus doing the will of the Father. We're going to be doing the will of God. We see Jesus willing to serve others. We're going to be willing to serve others. And as we continue doing those things, we become more Christ-like in all that we do. And in doing that, we bring honor and glory to the Lord and the one who saved us. And we're going to please him. That's what we're created to do, as I read there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. And so we become more Christ-like in our life. And in doing so, we're able to reach out to other people. We're able to better direct people to Christ, to reach people with the gospel. And that's part of our will, too. I know I started talking about the blood, but just thinking of our caller's question about the will of God, certainly the first will, as I said, of God is for us to trust Christ as our Savior. Then it's to become Christ-like in all that we do, grow, conform the image of Christ. And we do that, as I said, through prayer, through Bible study, through getting involved and member of a good Bible-believing church. As I said, I would encourage you to find an independent fundamental Baptist church that holds to the King James Version of the Bible as God's Word, because that's the preserved Word of God in the English language. And then as you do that and become conformed to the image of God, we're to go into all the world, the Bible says, and preach the gospel. So that's another part of God's will for our life, to do what we can to reach other people that aren't saved with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to help them to hear the gospel. And we do that by going out ourselves and talking to people about Christ, to being a witness for him, and inviting people to church where they can hear the gospel preached in the services. And you can do it through praying for unsaved people. We're currently going through a study in our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, on praying effectively for the lost. It's a great little booklet. You can also find that at our website, Live with Pastor Al. You can get it for free. There's address information there, I believe, on the left-hand side of the webpage there. And it's praying effectively for the lost, and that's something that anybody can do as a believer. We can pray that God will open the eyes of those that are lost. Another way we can do that is certainly pray for our church and for the pastor and for the Sunday school teachers and those that are ministering the gospel and the word of God in our church. And then, of course, we pray for missionaries and even support missionaries. One of the nice things about the Independent Fundamental Baptists is that they know who their missionaries are, because these missionaries come into the church, they present their ministry, you get to know them, and you know where your money is going, and it goes to those missionaries and helps on their field specifically. And then later on, they'll probably come back, and they'll even give an update on what's accomplished on the field thanks to the help of your prayers and financial support. And so in doing that, we're helping to send the gospel around the world. And of course, then maybe you can even be one of those people that God would call, just like he called Paul out of the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. That's a tremendous passage to read there, the first several verses there, where Paul was ministering and serving in the church in Antioch, and then God called him into a tremendous ministry as a missionary evangelist. And the key there, finding God's will, he was involved in a local church serving God. And that's where God pulls or calls people from to go into greater ministries. If you're faithful in a little, he'll make you faithful. He'll entrust you with more to do for his glory. And it's a tremendous opportunity. And as you surrender to God's will, he'll make more and more of his will known to you so that you can do more to serve him, and he'll confirm it. He'll work in your heart. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll open doors. He'll close doors, and he'll move you into the areas. My wife and I planted a church in the Samoan Islands because we were led to go out as missionaries. We thought we were going to New Zealand. God closed the door solidly shut and opened a door to the Samoan Islands, and we wound up there. Churches there as a result. Well, praise God. We're out of time right now. Join us again next week. Join us tonight if you can. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The preceding